Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Be in Luke chapter 19 this morning. Luke 19, 1 through 10. Continue giving thanks today. Miracles. What are they? What do we think about? Seems like a harder question to answer for us than it was in the context of Scripture. They considered their fresh water to be a miracle for God. We turn the faucet off. Our mindset has changed. What do you consider a miracle today? Modern advances in technology? Modern health, medicine? The fact that your spouse was driving and you made it here alive this morning, what's the miracle for you? What do we think about when we hear that word? And it's probably, for us, Bible stories, right? We think about those things we read in our text. For me, for some weird reason, I think about the 1980 Olympic hockey team. It's that movie that you watch. Pretty good movie about it. No, I'm not that old. I didn't watch the 1980 Olympics. They were heavy underdogs to the Soviet Union and all the different tensions in the background that was, U.S., Soviet Union. And yet they won. And we get that famous call that we all know from the broadcaster, "Do you believe in miracles?" Right as the time expires. That's stuck in my brain. Do you believe in miracles? Do we? Do we know what they are? I think so. I think we know, right? Even though we struggle to define it, we know it. We got things we can put our fingers on. Miracles are what we're going to give thanks for this morning, in two parts: giving thanks for miracles and giving thanks for a specific miracle. Luke 19, starting in verse 1. Let's stand as we read God's word together. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for this time together. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you that we can read stories like this one about Zacchaeus. Help us lean into your words today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Brother Robert, I got a prayer request in. It's from Anthony Jen. Prayers needed for Jake Stewart, heart attack and valve replacement this past week.
Jake Seaver. We seem to have been all over the place in this Giving Thanks series, right? Hopping from scripture to scripture. Where are we this morning? It's another familiar story. It's a story you learn as a child growing up in church, right? It's one of those main stories. We get stories that revolve around main people in the Bible. So it's children, we learn about Adam and Eve. We learn about Noah. We learn about guys through songs like Abraham, right? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. We know that one. Today's Zacchaeus. And maybe as a child you learned a wee little man he is, right? A little wee little man is he. But this doesn't begin to scratch the surface of him or his story. He is our familiar story this morning in Luke, but we do not come to it for a familiar reason. And we're going to get to the why we are here with Jesus and Zacchaeus in a moment, but first, what is a miracle? Let's dive in. Giving thanks for miracles. And that's the question. What is a miracle? A miracle is, by definition, something that is not explained by natural law, something that happens outside of nature or science. Biblically, a miracle is divine intervention. One of the interesting points about Jesus and his encounters with various people, including the religious elite, was their hypocritical stance on the miracles they witnessed. That was one of the tensions. They would say that we have seen a miracle, and then they would say Jesus is not God, though they would also say that miracles come from God. They would say this was a miracle, and then say things like, this came from Satan. By the prince of demons, you cast out demons. That's what they told him. Those sorts of things hurt my brain. Miracles in themselves don't hurt my over-logical brain. You think they would, but they don't. I know that they exist by God. But denying the miracle or changing the miracle to suit your own desired answers or outcomes, that does sort of short-circuit me. They say, only God does miracles. And they say, Jesus, you do miracles. So they say, you do miracles by Satan. Doesn't make sense to me. Why? Because it's a twist to get what you want. It's lying. The unwanted truth is always better than the lie that feels good. And everyone heard that. The unwanted truth is always better than the lie that makes you feel good. Everyone hears that. And automatically in our mind, we point our finger to someone else or somewhere else in our life. I know so-and-so needs to hear that, right? But I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me. Unwanted truth is always better. Does that make sense? We need to be clear on this. We need to be clear on miracles and on truth because the world is not. The world seemingly stands in the bottom of a pit and thinks the solution is to just keep digging the hole. A world that says men can be women and women can be men. A world that thinks killing babies makes sense. A world that says these kind of sayings. It's that world that says miracles don't exist. It's that world that says Jesus isn't who he says he is. Says Jesus couldn't have done the things Scripture says and could not be God. What I would say is that anyone can be right. They can. And anyone can be wrong on any issue. But do not ever take the word of someone you know to be wrong on the most important issue. The lens in which unbelievers see the world will always be one that tries to explain the world apart from God. Meaning, they will always fill in holes, change results, redefine words, whatever it takes to remove God. meaning the worldview of no God, to them, must put man at the top. No miracles needed, because we do all things. That's the world. And what we know to be the case is that the miraculous may come through man, but it is always done by God. So what are we talking about here? Our first thought is things like freedom from cancer and disease. That's what our mind goes to when we think miracle. It's on this scan, it's not on this scan. That's the miracle. And those miracles do happen. Pray for them knowing that God has it either way, but miracles are much bigger than that. And we could go to Bible stories. There are plenty of those, right? Demons cast out, dead people made alive, the Tower of Babel, we got Noah in the flood, right? Moses and all his things, the plagues and the parting of the Red Sea, countless stories. But those are no help to someone who does not believe the Bible. They just cast them aside. How about the creation of everything? That's a pretty good one. Have we ever looked around and saw the miracle that is creation? Can you explain that? Science tries, but much of science tries without God. So in their effort without God, we get trillions of years and life came from non-life. It keeps getting longer and longer because they have to add time to get life from non-life. How about the fact that we're on a ball that's spinning 1,000 miles an hour and hurling around a giant ball of fire that is in essence a giant fusion reactor? That's what's going on in the sky. And the entire system is moving through space together. And that seems like the miracle part. But the miracle part is that the earth and the sun and the planets and the galaxy are all in perfect position and in perfect harmony and in perfect composition for us to exist. How about our own bodies? How about how they work? How about how babies are formed in the womb? The air we breathe. The fact that the stuff we breathe out is the stuff the trees breathe in, and the things that the trees breathe out is the stuff that we breathe in. We are walking miracles. Now, what does a miracle point to? It points to the source of the miracle, the source that defies logic, that defies reason, that defies natural world. To believe in a miracle, that something can and does happen outside of us, is to believe in the God of miracles. Job 5:9. Who does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number? And the answer is God and God alone. Where does that leave us? Well, first, what miracles have we been overlooking in our lives? What obstacles have been removed? What improbable things are happening daily in your life? The small things, the large things, anything happening outside of your control. Is it love? Is it peace? Is it health? Is it the little moments you have been gifted? What is it? Give thanks. Also, what miracles are you waiting for? The hard things you've been praying for. Is it cancer or disease? Is it pain or some sort of suffering? Is it some financial woe or some reconciliation in your life that you desperately need? What is it? Pray for it. Open up to others and have them pray for it. Do so knowing that miracles are real and do happen. Do so knowing that the same God that has you in His hand is the same God that keeps the earth in its orbit. The same God that knows what you need, whether you know it or feel it, is the same God who puts the very breath of life within you. Miracles are real, and you are a miracle. Give thanks. How are we miracles specifically? That's where we're going. So let's go there. Giving thanks for a specific miracle. I say you're a miracle, and you say, how? I've never experienced a miracle. What are you talking about here? We've made it to Zacchaeus. We turn to this known story in the Bible for one purpose this morning, to see God's ultimate miracle. Look at our text. What is our setup? The setup is passing through Jericho on the way to Jerusalem. That's what it tells us. That's Jesus with his followers now, so take a caravan of sorts. He's getting popular. And Jericho is just the next town they come to. Now, what is wrong with my summary? In verse 5, we're told that Jesus must stay at the house of Zacchaeus. Jesus does not use terms like must or have to lightly. Jesus and Zacchaeus were the reason for passing through Jericho. We need to hold on to that. Just like the reason for the paralyzed man that we saw was to reveal his authority, and the reason for the blind man that we've looked at was so that they may believe. What is the reason you are here, right? Who is this man named Zacchaeus? A wee little man, right? That's what all of our memories tell us. A wee little man is he. And the text does say small in stature here, but what else does it say about him? Think about if you were that Bible character. You're known all throughout time as the wee little man. What a description to have. What else? Verse 2. Behold, there's a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. So that's what we're told about him. A chief tax collector, so think in charge, and rich. A tax collector is strike one. Tax collector meant crooked. That's just what it meant. Tax collector meant a thief from his own people. The Jewish oppressed and controlled through tax by the Romans. That's how they kept their boot on them. Collected taxes for the Romans and kept more than his share for himself. That's what they all did. And being chief means good at it, right? So consider the lowest of the low, and we may be looking at the best to do it. And that's his description. Small in stature, right? And chief tax collector and rich. Ouch. What would ours be? That was bad. It makes him a chief of sinners. And yet his next description was worse. Rich. How is that worse? Well, it just so happens that earlier in Luke, chapter 18, it says this. Jesus speaking to them. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Now, for our minds, one of the ways to look at this is that this is their largest animal passing through their smallest object. Easier for that to happen than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. This was in response to the rich man and his conversation with him. The rich man comes to him, and he turns down salvation because of money, because of things. This man asked Jesus, hey, what do I need to do to have heaven? And then leaves because his things were more important. Impossible for the rich to enter the kingdom is the description from Jesus. Is what happens to the rich man. Is the description of Zacchaeus. We need to hold on to those words because they're important to our text and because they're important to our lives. There's not a person in this room or hearing my voice right now that is not rich according to the world. And you're thinking, well, where's all my money? I can't be rich. We are rich. The world's average annual income is $20,000 a year. And that's just the money. Houses, cars, marriage, children, friends, freedom. We can keep going. We are rich. Rich meaning you might have something you consider better than Jesus. What are we choosing over Jesus? What in our life is so important as to walk away from the Son? So Zacchaeus is the chief of sinners and is a rich man who cannot enter the kingdom. Those are his descriptions right out of the gate. Then what happens? Jesus happens. Jesus enters Jericho and Zacchaeus must see Jesus. Then Jesus must dine with Zacchaeus. Then the miracle on our pages this morning. Verse 6. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone into the guest to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Pause there. Who's the they there? They all grumbled. Who's the they? Everyone. Including those with Jesus. The they is those who have been robbed by this man. Those who think they are better and know better. They stand on their emotions and their expertise and they get it wrong. Wrong because they're standing against Jesus. We have a lot of days in this world we live in today. Continuing, verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I defrauded anyone anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." No pride left in his body. That's what climbing the tree revealed. That was beneath him. He had to do it. He didn't care what it took. Joyfully received Jesus, half of his goods to the poor, fourfold for anyone he had done wrong to. That's $4 for everyone he took. What just happened? Why the change here? How did he change? Chief of sinners and rich and seemingly no way back, and yet look at our text. How? Jesus. That's the how, and that's the specific miracle we give thanks for this morning. A changed heart and a changed spirit because of Jesus. One way and then another because of Jesus. Remember our rich man walking away in Luke 18. He chose the things over salvation. Impossible for the rich man to inherit the kingdom. That's what Jesus says. And I just said, we are all rich. We all have money. We all have stuff. Then this, Luke 18, verse 26. Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" They want to know. We want to know. Verse 27. But he said, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." the impossible made possible only by God. And that is the definition of a miracle. And that is the source of the greatest miracle in our lives. If you claim Jesus, then you are claiming to have had an experience like Zacchaeus. An experience that says, no matter where you have stood in this life, no matter what you've said or what you have done, no matter the actions or the consequences, you are not that person anymore. You're not that person, and it's not because of you. It's not because of anything ever done by you, but because of Him. That's the miracle. The dead made alive in Christ. That's the contrast. It's the elite saying, I'm nothing compared to Jesus. How could the elite get there? It's the rich saying, nothing is more valuable than Jesus. It's the poor saying, there's no amount of money you could give me worth more than Jesus. It's the pleasure seeker saying, nothing can fill this void except Jesus. Take it all and give me Him. Look back at our text. Today, salvation has come to this house. Do we understand that in this passage is the greatest miracle of all? Do we understand that if we claim faith in Christ, then we are walking the greatest miracle of all? No one worthy until Jesus was worthy. And now all are worthy if they simply look to Him. I want to be clear about what I'm saying. This is the importance of this passage here in this topic. When we talk about miracles, we tend to talk about the miracles of the Bible, right? Water to wine, walking on water, the raising of the dead, great and important moments. We also tend to lean on the miracle that we seek. When talking about miracles, our minds float to the things we need, the things we wish would happen, health or wealth or peace or whatever it is. That's where our thoughts tend to go. Those are the miracles to us. I need you to hear me. There is nothing in this life more important or more miraculous than the meeting of the Son of God. Truly meeting Him. Your life one way, then another. And there are many important and big requests you have for God. What is your ask? When asking for the miracle, the cancer you want to go away, no more pain in your body, I feel that one, so do you. No more struggles with your thoughts, no more struggles with your actions. You want just enough money to climb out of that hole that you're in. You want a marriage that lasts, that endures. You want children and grandchildren that last and endure. I understand the requests. I have many of my own. But what we need to understand is that of the miracles that would change your life, and you could put a finger on many, there is one that is far greater. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Amen. That's the one. All others are incomparable to the one. Zacchaeus here gave his all. He gave up everything. And the rich man before him in Luke 18 walked away in shame. One of them received the miracle, and the other one walked as if they already had their miracle. And and only one was saved. I'm not saying that we should never bring our requests to God. Bring them boldly. Bring them repeatedly. Pray for the miracle, for that thing in your life. But do so knowing receiving the Son in your place is the greatest miracle. And if He was in your place, if that's where your heart is, if it says, the Son of God for me, then give thanks knowing you are the miracle. We close this morning with a simple reminder. Miracles are real. That's first. Believe in the miracle. Pray for the miracle. Pray knowing that even if it does not happen, God has you. Miracles are real. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus, then you are a walking miracle. The sinner saved by the sinless Son of God. The reason for everything, the sustainer of everything, Him in your place so that you could be made new. Not perfect, not even close, but once a lost sinner that has now been found. Look at our text. Does it say Jesus came to condemn? Does it say get everything right on your own or else? Of course not. It says the Son of God became flesh so that He could seek and save the lost.
Amen.
That was me, and that was you. Still think you're lost this morning? Then simply believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You will feel this ultimate miracle in your life. Then give thanks. Bring anything at all to your Father in heaven. A Father that both knows you and waits for you. A Father that made the impossible possible for you. Lay whatever it is before Him and give thanks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for this morning together. We thank you that we are called yours. We're a family of God. We are your children. I thank you for every person in this place this morning. I thank you that they do have hearts for you. Father, help us really feel what it is to be a walking miracle. Help us to feel it in such a way that makes us reach out to others because we want them to be a part of this. We want them to feel the miraculous. Help us continue to lift up the things that we need in our lives. Lift them up in confidence, knowing who you are and you've got this. Help us lean in on one another and lean into you in the days ahead. In Jesus' name I pray.